Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. It is Tuesday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the Pugilist Corner. We have a great show in store for everyone tonight. We're going to be talking to two great trainers, both with great backgrounds in amateur boxing on inside the ring as well as outside. We're going to be talking with Matt Stafford first, and we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming Olympics, of course, and then we're going to talk to Mr. Montel Griffin. I want to find out how his protege is getting along, as well as get some of his insights on what he thinks about the current state of amateur boxing and what he thinks about the Olympics. And then we're going to talk to a young man, Donovan Estrella. He just won in Mexico Friday night. Young gentleman is now 11-0. We're going to be talking to him, a young prospect. And any questions or observations you'd like to make, please feel free to call in. Our call-in number is 718-506-1506. Let's get right to the show, and let's call Mr. Stafford and get this show on the road. By the way, we are trying also, hopefully, to get Mr. Figueroa on the show before this fight, this planned fight on sometime in the spring. Also, wanted to get a couple young ladies in before spring goes on. Let's see. Maybe it's us. Let's try something else. Sometimes it's just easier. Sometimes it's just the keyboard, the switchboard here at Blog Talk Radio just kind of gives me fits. So let's see if we can get Mr. Stafford on the line. Sorry about that. Seems I am going to have to get concerning this matchup between Adrian Broner a lot of people are saying this is going to be Broner's last fight. I'm not sure if I agree with that. I think considering his past performances, this is not Adrian will be a draw. He's much like, and I know how, people hate to keep making the comparisons and whatnot, but just being from the era, I just draw so many things. He's much like Aaron. Aaron was exploited, and I do say exploited because they let Aaron's heart outlast his skills. With Adrian, I'm thinking that it might be his greed. All boxers want to stay in the spotlight. And especially when you've been had the exposure with Floyd Mayweather and then your own infamous career, it's very hard to put that spotlight away. And for various reasons, whether it be his escapades out in the street, whether it be his victories in the ring, the fact that he's managed to accumulate all these championships, all of these things make him a draw. Roy Jones Jr. is still fighting. So I'm thinking, I'm not sure what it will take for Adrian to decide to retire. So I'm in that respect, I'm not thinking that this is going to be his last fight. Now, has his skills eroded? Yes. But the reason why his skills have eroded is because of his lack of preparation, his lack of seemingly to take his opponent seriously, and to think that he doesn't have to work hard, not work, but work hard at his craft. And these are the things that you see in the erosion of one Adrian Broner. Could his answer be to go up in weight class? Could his answer be, I'm very perplexed because you hate to see a gentleman who had so much potential use excuse after excuse not to dedicate it to his craft or to use his past an excuse for his lack of performance in the presence. You know, hey, I'm a four-time world champion. You know, well, yeah, you were. But who are you now? Right now, are you... Instead of leading young men, you become a typical hoodrich gentleman with the attitude of look at me now, and you know, WTF. Are you looking at? You know, this is me. How do you reconcile not only a city, you know, and by the way, I mean, you know, Cincinnati is known as the Queen City. I mean, how do you... You have an inner city that is in turmoil. You have a definite opiate problem. You have a problem with the incarceration numbers of young men of color. And you have a political background that makes it, it behooves you to be an example to the young man, the young men, or that two or three that are striving to get out, rather than trying to keep the ones that are there acting like crabs and just, you know, calling over each other to get to the top. You should be trying to show them the way. And that doesn't mean you're getting in altercations, petty altercations, robberies, things like this. Counselors and those around you are supposed to be teaching and educating you. And we have a man that has spent his life reaching out to young men, the young men of Cincinnati, and not wanting the fame or the fortune, but just providing the inspiration and showing the adoration that he has for his neighborhood and city. Mike Stafford should be commended for the work that he does, not only with the amateur program, but with the guidance that he provides or attempts to provide to these young men. Like all fishermen, you just have to hope that you can sink your hook into one or two and show them the appropriate emotions and the way. But the thing is, I have to admit that as a young man, I was very much guilty of the same. And when you speak of respect for elders, the word respect gets lost and they hear the word elder. I remember the speech from the two old men very well. One was a deacon in my church, and the other was an old retired hustler that, you know, we saw. We used to kind of hang around, you know, and he would tell us about the day when he was on the streets and things like that. But there was a very common message from both of them. And neither one did I want to hear. And that was that you reap what you sow. And when I looked at the old hustler, I was, well, the reason why I'm here talking to you is because I don't want to make the mistakes that you made. And I'm going to take my money and make sure that I don't have to worry about things when I get old, because I'm going to stash me some money away. To the deacon, we have nothing in common, old man. There's nothing that you can tell me because we don't live the same lifestyles. So therefore, that fire and brimstone that you're talking to me, I don't have time for that. I bring the fire and brimstone. Okay. As I was into my third bit, and different states were starting to pass laws restricting things. And usually, you know, you're young. You don't think of these things. These things don't apply to me. These things apply to someone else. And I see Adrian kind of get stuck in that same line of thinking. This doesn't apply to me. This applies to someone else. I don't have to train. I'm too good. You know, the best in the world, Muhammad Ali, trained all his life. Floyd Mayweather trained all his life. Marvin Hagler trained all his life. Tommy Hearns trained all his life. Is there a common thread here? Did any of these gentlemen that I mentioned take a day off, take a fight off, lose a title on the scale, come in the ring unprepared? There's another thing they all have in common too. All these gentlemen are Hall of Famers. Adrian, wouldn't you like to see your name in the International Hall of Fame? I'm not talking about in the Cincinnati City Hall of Fame. I'm not even talking about the Ohio Boxing Hall of Fame. I'm talking about the International Hall of Fame. It's a big boy, playing with the big boys in Conestoga. You talk a big game. Isn't it time that we saw, well, I guess it's past time that we saw a good game, but, you know, think about some of those, hey, light heavyweight, cruiserweight. Why not? But you got to be dedicated. because we have some young men, some young bulls that are up there waiting. And perhaps, you know, this upcoming fight with Mr. Figueroa is just what it takes to get you motivated. We would love to see the real Adrian Broner back in the ring. But is that something that's going to happen? Unfortunately, it looks like we're not going to be able to get Mike, Mr. Stafford on the line. And we will try to make it up to our listeners perhaps next Tuesday. I'm sure, you know, I mean, everyone knows trainer schedule is rather fluid. And tonight, we just weren't able to get Mike. Just a few words of thought concerning Mr. Adrian Broner, his future, what you believe his future is going to be. I hate to see a young man with so much star power become more of one of boxing's amusements rather than one of boxing's champions and leader of young men. With that being said, once again, I apologize for not being able to get Mr. Stafford on the line, but we will definitely try again. But right now, let's see. Okay. I'm going to call Mr. Montel Griffin. I know we have him kind of waiting okay. Let's get Mr. Griffin on the line here.
Montel Griffin.
Good evening, Mr. Griffin. Let's see. I thought we let me send it. Hello, Mr. Griffin. This is James from the Pugilist Corner. We're trying to get you on the line. I will call you back shortly. Okay. Well, unfortunately, it does seem like it's going to be one of those days. Let's see. I know he was on another show this evening. And even though he's in Central Time, hopefully. anyway, the last time we talked with Mr. Griffin, we had just had his young protege on the line. On the show, and that was the last time we talked to Mr. Griffin, we had just had his young protege on the line, Mr. Sean Simpson. I believe Sean had fought back in November. And we haven't heard anything new about Sean. We haven't heard anything new about Sean on the horizon. He'll also be able to shed some light on what they had for his protege. Montel is another that came up through the old system and fought some wars in his day. Those of you that are familiar with Montel, he did have two victories over James Toney. He also had a victory over Roy Jones Jr. Regardless of what happened, he had a victory over Roy Jones Jr. Roy eventually avenged that loss, but that's another story. Montel was the WBC light heavyweight champion, and besides having a great footwork and a lot of skill, Montel capitalized on the fact that he wasn't a big name like Roy Jones Jr. Or James Toney, but he knew how to fight, and he he prepared well. He prepared well. So Montel is a gentleman that knows about preparation, and that's one of the things that, my throat is a little dry. Okay. I just wanted to send a message here. Like I said, when you're dealing with trainers and fighters, as everyone knows, in this industry, you have to be rather fluid because things change all of the time. It's like a constant river. Thinking, I know there's a definite difference in time. Okay.
what I thought.
Well, anyway, I'm not sure exactly what's going on today, but unless I have the wrong contact information here. Okay, I'm going to call him right now. Mr. Griffin is ready, so let's try. Okay, though. Let's get that one off. Let's see here. Hello, Mr.
Hello.
Griffin. Hello, how are you doing tonight?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me? This way. Let's try it this way. Okay. Let's see what I don't know what's happening here. I can hear you. Okay, I'm not sure what's going on here. I know we can hear Mr. Griffin, but it doesn't seem like he can hear us. I'm hopefully going to see if I can try him again. Hello? Hello, Mr. Griffin? Hello, Mr. Griffin? Well, maybe we can get him to call us. Let's see how that works. I know this is very painful. See if this works. I asked him if he could please call us. I know. I hate when this happens to us, especially it seems like a lot of the road work that we do for this show is for naught when we can't get our guests on the line or we have some type of interference. But that's all we can do. And I do have a young gentleman that is coming on at 9:00. I tried to give him our number, hoping he would call us back. Very, very frustrating. Anyway. We do have some action that will be coming up. Let's take a look at our current boxing schedule here. We're going to let's go to Ring Magazine here first and see. What they have on their schedule. Sometimes it differs a little bit from that of but let's start with tomorrow right here, right in New York, February 7th. We have some welterweights and junior lightweights all on the main card. February 8th, Thursday, Pensacola, Florida, Roy Jones Jr. makes his last appearance in the ring out of Pensacola, Florida.
Griffin.
Hello, Mr. Griffin. Does seem to be going to voicemail. We do what we can, and we'll move on. We'll try to go we'll go with this boxing schedule. Thursday, February 8th, Roy Jones Jr. makes his final appearance in the ring. Cruiserweight 10-rounder Once again, it's you know, we see a legend retiring, but Roy does have quite a few young men in his stable, and he's certainly trying to make his name in Roy Jones promotions, as we also see with Floyd. And there are some other up-and-coming promotional companies coming up. I'd like to get the some of these new generation, if you want to call it that, promoters on the show. I mean, it's not all about the Top Rank and Golden Boy quite anymore. We see a lot of young proteges coming up, as well as some of the regional promoters taking advantage of the fight audience and knowing the numbers that they put on the table. So it's not quite all about TV anymore. It's there's a lot taking place on the lower level. This Saturday, CBS Sportsnet, we're going to watch Mr. Nico Hernandez and Maurice Bynum. They're going to be showing their wares. Nico is going to be in an 8-round flyweight bout. The 7th is actually loaded. Hey, Lundy will be back in the ring. He'll be fighting DeMarcus Pauly. That's 8 rounds in Philadelphia, lightweights. We all know about their past history, so there is no need to really elaborate there. Out of Brooks, California, we have Alan Sanchez, and he's an 8-round welterweight, local favorite. Ryan Borland, light heavyweight, and Bruno Escalante, a gentleman that we've featured here on the program a couple of times, young flyweight. If you're around any of these local shows, support your local boxing, go grab a seat. 13th of February, we have Kermit Citron, 10-round welterweights out of Bethlehem. They're going to be fighting in Bethlehem, PA. I'm not sure if this is going to be on any featured broadcast, but I'm sure you can catch this on various internet sites. Out of Thursday, February 15th, day after Valentine's Day, Montreal, Canada. Young gentleman, we also at Young Fugitive's Corner, be fighting 8 rounds, junior middleweight Michael Juski. I believe is he the Fighting Hebrew or the Hebrew Hammer? I believe he might have been the Hebrew Hammer. You can check him out up in Montreal. But on ESPN, Friday, February 16th, we have a favorite. Gentleman that has definitely put in all of his time in the ring and given us a lot of great memories. That would be Mr. Raymond Ramon Beltran. He has worked his way up to number 3 This is going to be a 12-round lightweight title fight for the WBO title. So we certainly wish Ramon all of the best in that fight. And we certainly would love to see him return back to his native California champion. If you've had a chance to meet him and the family, you'll know that Ramon is just a real gentleman and ambassador to the sport. Saturday, February 17th, of course, we're all looking forward to Danny Garcia and Brandon Rios, 12-round welterweights. Then also we're going to see David Benavidez. He's also going to be in the 12-rounder to defend his super middleweight title against Ronald Gavril. We're going to see Ray Robinson against Mr. Yedenis Ugas. That's a 12-round welterweight title. So be sure you tune in to Showtime February 17th. Also on Fox, February 17th, we're going to have Devin Alexander against Victor Ortiz, 12-round welterweight. Caleb Plant is going to be fighting Rogelio Medina. This is another 12-round middleweight fight. And Jennifer Hahn is going to be defending her IBF title, featherweight title, against Elizabeth Sespo. So these are all going to be great fights. The backup fight will actually be Tony Harrison against Jorge Cota. So we can look for some great fights February 17th. Even over across the pond, you're going to have George Groves against Chris Eubanks Jr. This is for Groves' WBA title, and it's also a World Boxing Semifinal. So that if you have BN or R, that fight might be on the agenda. February 27th, right here out of Indio, we're going to have Joseph Diaz against Victor Terrazas, 10 rounds featherweights. Virgil Ortiz against Jesus Rodriguez. Christian Gonzalez against Ray Perez. These are all local guys. If you got to get a chance to come out here, support your local fighters once again down here in Indio. But the fight will be on ESPN2 and ESPN3.com. February 24th, the gentleman that defeated Chocolatito, I'm not going to try to chop up his name, but he's number two as bantamweight and number 10 pound for pound. Ruvasai against Estrada. Estrada is number three, not ranked yet in the pound for pound category. In the flyweight category, we have Dani Nietes against Carlos Rebeco. That's number one against number three. Then that's for Nietes' IBF title. Brian Valoria will be fighting for the vacant WBA title against our team, Darkenia. Sounds like it's going to be a slugfest there. So the month of February is definitely going to be action-packed. If anyone remembered, we talked about the Showtime broadcast and what they had put on the line for the first half of 2018. So, we're going to be very action-packed, very busy. Once again, you can call in 718-506-1506. And I'm going to get our young man, Mr. Estrada, on the line. If you go back and look at this young man's record, right now he's 11-0 with 4 KOs. He's a lightweight, boxes out of the orthodox stance. Lives Denver. I'm not sure whether he trained in Denver or Aspen, but looking at his record here, most of his fights have been out of either Denver or Colorado Springs. He did make his debut in Aurora, but we spoke to this young man one time earlier, possibly before this fight. I was speaking about him fighting in Mexico. And the first time that he fought in Mexico, he fought at the Escape Bar in Tijuana. As everyone knows, Tijuana, they're very serious about their boxing. They're also very serious about their local favorites. Fortunately, speaking about Donovan, made sure that it didn't have to go through the hands of the scorecards or the referee or the crowd. He managed to KO his opponent. And this Friday, February 2nd, he fought once again in Mexico, and he fought a young man, Antonio Camacho, related to the thing that Camacho, he was also he managed to get a unanimous victory. So in the last two fights, and been definitely in front of hostile crowds, and he managed to make his way out of these. Situations both with victories. So we're going to talk to him once again about fighting in front of a hostile crowd there in Mexico. Talk to him a little bit about his inspirations, and we're going to ask him about some of the upcoming fights possibly, what's going on with some of the legends and whatnot. once again, we'll ask him about his promotions, how his promotions is going along. He feels after his first fight in 2018. So we're looking forward to having a great conversation with the young man, considering how this first power has rolled, it would certainly be a rest for me. I'm looking forward to talking to the young man. I'm waiting for him to call in. Let's see. Okay, here we go. I guess it's just the nature of the beast tonight, right? That's exactly what we need. But I've just sent a note off to his publicist, and we'll see what happens from there. But it would just seem to go with the evening. See, I'm 0-3 from 3. 0-3 at the plate. I don't know, man. Going to be a hard night here. Like, this is a hard way to make a living. Let's see. And we have his publicist, and the publicist says, okay. Well, publicist said he just sent him a text, so I guess we shall see. Hello, Mr. Estrella.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Sorry. Sorry we got our lines a little crossed there about the time, but don't worry about that. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. Just enjoying my birthday with the family.
Oh, today's your birthday?
Yeah, today.
Oh, mine was Sunday.
Oh, happy belated birthday.
I was 71. I'm not going to ask you how old you are because I know it'll make me feel really old. But you know, happy birthday to you also. So
thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You also had a victory Friday night. Am I correct?
Yeah, in Mexico.
Yeah, that was a birthday present also in itself. I thought maybe that I'm not sure whether it was you or another fighter, but we were talking about the fighting in Mexico, and we were talking about fighting at the Escape Bar in particular, because I live in San Diego. I live in San Diego, so Tijuana is like, you know, 15 miles away. It's, you know, a little hassle getting across the border, but it's a lot of excitement down there. And this is your second victory in Mexico, but you managed to get a knockout at the Escape Bar, man. Kind of, you know, tell me how the crowd accepted you, because I know that crowd is a very hostile crowd down there, or at least it can be.
Yeah, this my last fight, I didn't get the KO. The first one I fought in Tijuana, that I got the knockout.
That was at the Escape Bar, right?
Yeah.
Because like I said, I know that's really a kind of a tough nut to crack. Now this is your second fight in Mexico, so you know. Have you kind of gotten used to the Mexican style of fighting, or does that kind of fit your style? What about it fits you so well? The aggressiveness.
What was that?
I said, what about the Mexican fighters seems to fit you so well? Is it their aggressiveness?
Yeah, I just have to box them. They're really strong and like to come forward, walk forward, and throw a lot of punches. But for as long as I box and stay true to my style, they're easy, but it makes the fight easier if I just stay true to my style, you know?
Well, how hard is it to stay true to your style when your opponent is usually coming with something, you know, a lot of pressure or trying to stifle you up against the ropes? What do you find really lends it to you? Keeping to your game plan and not, you know, trying to bang away or how we see, as Mike Tyson says, a lot of fighters have a game plan until they get hit in the mouth.
This last fight I had to bite down because I had to box. Usually I just like to box, but I had to walk this guy down and stuff. But it was a good fight, I guess. I boxed a little bit, but then I had a bang. I had a fight in spurts a little bit, so. It was a good victory.
Now, how much of a difference did it make having your own trainer, Bones, working your corner last weekend?
The knowledge he knows in boxing and him being a real champion helped me out a lot, because listening to him know what he was telling me to do is working a lot. So that was it's an honor to have Bones in my corner, and especially being an two-time real champion and stuff. He knows the game really, really well.
I think I remember asking you about your relationship with Bones the last time we had you on the show. And just giving our audience a recap, how did you meet Bones and what was it between the two of you that clicked?
Well, I moved to Vegas with Damian Vasquez and Oscar Vasquez. Do you know who they are?
Yes.
Yeah, but I moved there, and that's how I met Bones, because Bones trains Damian. So we kind of, he was, bone seen some stuff that I had to work on, so we clicked, you know, and he's been helping me out. I live in Denver, I live in Vegas, but I'm pretty sure I'll be training out there a lot more leading up to fight in Mexico or wherever I'm going to be fighting. So yeah, we clicked pretty good. He's an awesome trainer. Like I said, it's an honor to be training with him.
Now, as you said, you live in Denver and Bones is in Vegas. You're fighting in Mexico. Where did you train for the fight?
I trained here in Denver. I have a coach, Anthony Bralla, who trains out here in Denver. He trains me out here.
And how long have you been with him?
I've been with Anthony since I was 4 years old.
Since you were when?
Since I was four.
Oh man! So you have quite a bit of experience as far as being in the ring. Usually, I mean, you know, we see a lot of, you know, young kids, you know, when they're 4 and 6 and 8, and we see them, you know, on the bag and whatnot. But a lot of them don't really carry it on to the pros. What made you stick to it this long?
Well, my dad was a boxer. My uncles, my cousins, all my cousins are boxers too, pro boxers. So I just was always in the gym with my daddy. So he would, me when he took my older brother and them. So I was little, I just would copy everything that they were doing and just stuck with it and did it the right way. But I loved it ever since I was a little kid. But I played other sports too.
I see your nickname is Slick. Is that because of your boxing prowess?
Hey, sir.
Hello? Was talking about, I was referring to your nickname, Slick. Is
mm-hmm.
that referring to your boxing prowess?
That in the... I got that nickname because I was sparring at the Olympic Training Center when I was 16 or 15. And they started calling me that, so I stood with me. So going to pros, that was my nickname. That's my nickname.
I'm looking at, the Winter Olympic Games start Friday, which means that in 2020, we'll have the U.S. Olympic boxing team. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about your experience as a pro as an amateur? And I noticed you said that you picked up Slick while you were talking about the amateur trial. So kind of take us through your amateur career and your experience at the Olympic trials.
Well, I was too young to make the Olympic team. You know, when I went to the qualifiers or the trials, I won the Junior Olympics. Well, yeah, and then they were having the Olympic trials at the same time. But it was a good experience because when I got invited to spar Joseph Diaz, Rashid Warren, and Eros Correa. So I was in the Olympic Training Center, and I got to spar with them guys. And it was pretty fun, you know. It was a good experience. And the amateurs was fun. I always traveling and stuff. Won some good fights in amateurs. I had like over 180, 200 fights close. I don't know how to count them all. What national experience, you know? And,
I ask, you know, a lot of young fighters this, and you know, for some, it was the change in headgear rules and things like that. But thinking on a world level, when you have a gentleman such as yourself, 23 years old, just kind of starting out off in your career, but having been inside of the world of boxing at a very young age. But we see a lot of young fighters turning pro, 50 fights or less, and they end up, I mean, not that they're bad fighters, but the learning curve and having to catch up sometimes seems to hinder their career. Having as many amateur fights as you did, do you think that instills more of a will to win, or do you think that that some of these guys are right by and I'm not saying one way or the other, but do you think that we don't establish the foundation in amateur boxing the way that we used to do, during the era of, Sugar Ray Leonard, Deontay Wilder, Evander Holyfield? Do you think that's what has really hurt our amateur program, is that we don't instill enough will in the boxers to participate?
Yeah, it could. Has a lot to do with that. I feel that I think it affects everyone differently.
Do you think the safety factor of the non-headgear rule has prompted a lot of the amateur boxers to say, I might as well get paid if I'm not going to fight with headgear. It sounds good, but if you don't bring the skills along with you, boxing is, even though we call it a sport, this is not something that you play. This is something that you live.
Yeah, that's because when my dad got the email about the no headgear, my dad said, "No, we're going pro, because why are you going to fight without headgear and get banged up before the pros and you're not getting paid for it?" So we just end up going pro. And that's what I think a lot of fighters do. They end up going, well, if they want to make it to Olympic games and stuff. But I thought it was better, my dad too, to go pro and get paid to fight without headgear and stuff. Why would you want to get cut? You're not getting paid for it.
But if you don't have the skills to go along with the decision, I'm looking at the safety gear, the safety factor here. As I said, you spent many years in the ring. You've been brought up in the ring, so your skill level, I'm looking at right now. You're ranked probably about number 350 in the world, number 60 in the U.S. You have the experience, but what about those young men that make the same decision that you did that don't bring your type of skills? Are we putting them in danger?
Because they could get hurt easily. It's scoring nothing to mess around. People get killed and stuff,
Yeah, that's kind of precisely my point there. Like I said, this is not a sport that you can play. But you were talking a lot about your cousins and your father. Why don't you give us a little background here of your family tree?
My grandpa was a boxer, a professional boxer. My dad really didn't. He boxed, but he didn't have the temper for it. My grandpa ended up going to prison. But my dad, my older cousins, and Stevon, Sean, Raymond, my older brother is a pro. So my dad had him doing good and stuff. And but they just didn't listen to that. They had sidetracked by a bunch of other stuff, and they didn't really want to take it serious, you know. So that was basically, you know, we just grew up in boxing all of my life. You know, I played other sports, but we just basically just followed from my grandpa, you know.
At 23, do you have any family of your own, or you know, are you still at home? What's kind of your family dynamic at this point?
I have a son.
Oh, okay. Tell us a little bit about your son. Is he a fellow Aquarian?
What was that? Is he what? He's gonna be 3.
Okay. Well, and when's his birthday?
It's May the 19th.
Oh man, all of my sisters and 3 of my brothers are all born in May. It's a good thing that we're Aquarians, because we had the patience to deal with them, but they are stubborn, believe me. Not saying that we aren't, because we are kind of stuck in our ways, but you have a 3-year-old son, and now you talk about background, and you said that you were in the ring since 4. Your son is 3. Is there any correlation here? Are we going to see a little Donovan, on YouTube, with his little gloves on hitting the bag, or what?
No, I'm not going to let him box, man. I want him to be in school and like do some other stuff. I can't let him box.
it's funny because we hear now just before the Super Bowl that almost 50% of the parents in the United States don't want to see their kids play tackle football. You would think that there are a lot of fathers that don't want their sons to box, even though this is what they're around every day. And a lot of guys, just like you have said, I don't want my son to box. Don't you think that there was a time when your mother probably said the same thing about you?
My mom didn't want me to box. She said, he's too handsome. She did.
Was that before the tats or after?
That was when I was little. She said that other boys are uglier. Yeah, she said, he's too pretty face and stuff. So my dad said, oh, don't act like that. He wants to box, so.
Did you find that to be somewhat of an inspiration because your opponents always thought that they were fighting a pretty boy or wanting to mess up your face? Did that have a lot to do with your ferocity in the ring? And boxing opponents, where you could put in extract the most punishment without that quick knockout, is that what turns you into a slick boxer?
Yeah, it did. Because I want to be able to talk when I get older, not be like this drunk and stuff.
So I just want to make enough
money and get out of this sport and invest my money. I don't really care to be boxing until I'm 40, 30-something. I want to retire when I'm like 30, 34, 35. Be done.
Okay, so even though you right now, you 23, you've almost put 20 years in the ring already. So it's not like at 30, you know, at 30, you know, you're just walking away from the sport. But that does bring me to question, though, man. You know, if right now at this young age, you've already put 20 years into the sport, how do you think it's going to be that easy to walk away in 6 or 7 more years?
Yeah, it probably isn't. A lot of people miss it, you know, like Floyd, then they retire, they end up missing it and stuff, you know. And,
yeah,
but, I don't know.
But if you make Floyd type money, man, I mean, come on. we can retire tomorrow, right?
give me 10, 15 mil fight, I'm good.
See, you know, hey, not many fighters get to fight for $300 million. Even that amount sounds crazy, $300 million for a prize fight, you know. But anyway, what are you doing now to prepare yourself for life after boxing? If you're already thinking about like making your money and getting out of the sport, what do you think about life after boxing? Promotions, something different, family business.
I'm an open business. My dad and me, well, before we went pro, we decided after I'm done fighting, I'm going to open restaurants. So I'm just waiting for
man,
every time
hey.
And just open some restaurants. Just enjoy life with my family.
You're talking about if you thought boxing was a cutthroat business, man, I'm a retired chef. The restaurant business, there might not be, it might not be the ring, but there's a lot of blood and guts in that too, man. I mean, you're going into just as savage in the ring as you're leaving. But then again, hey, man, you know, I love Mexican food, so, you know, what can I say? Do you make a decent mole, man? Do you make a decent mole? You talking about going into the restaurant business?
Oh yeah, no, probably my grandma.
Oh, okay, you're gonna make it a real family business, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so. So now that you've mentioned food, man, a lightweight, come on, man, I just for my birthday, we had tacos and some mole and some other Mexican things. I live here in San Diego, so. I got to ask you, man, how do you stay, how do you keep weight in between fights? You know, you've already talked about grandma, and I know mama's there too, so come on, man. How do you keep that weight, man? You have to be pushing yourself away from the table.
Yeah, it's all about your diet is everything. Just got to eat right, train hard. Before this fight, I was like walking around 160. It was big, but I got down to 140.
Yeah, that 140 class, you know, even though Terrence Crawford's moved on, I mean, you know, you have some very good competition in the 140 class. You have Lomachenko moving up to the weight class under. So, man, your career is headed definitely up, and you're going to be either weight class. You're going to be faced with some of the best in the world. What is your plans for 2018?
Just staying active. Fighting every other month and fighting a lot. That's what I want me to do. So just being active and staying grinding, training. That's a big thing. But I'm gonna fight for a title at 135.
Excuse me?
Fighting for a title at 135, a title.
You want to fight for a title at 135 by the end of 2018?
Yeah. Mhm.
All right. Well, hopefully we find out. Do you know when your next fight is going to be yet? I know you just fought Friday, but you already said you wanted to fight every other month. So, I mean, do you have an opponent in mind? Were you guys looking a little ahead? Or do you know when your next bout is going to be?
It's in April right now.
Okay. Well, we hope to get you back on sometime in the middle of March, possibly just before your training camp or afterwards, and once your opponent is named. So, as I said before, we look forward to having you back on the show. You keep winning, we'll keep calling.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media and give us your final thoughts for the evening. Especially tell us what you think about the upcoming fight between Danny Garcia and Brandon Rios.
I'll actually be at that fight. Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram. Twitter and Instagram at I'm Don Estrella. So I... It's not M, it's just I, the letter M, DonEstrella. And that's going to be a good fight. You know, Brandon Rios comes in shape. They're going to bang. Whoever just wants it more, I think, is going to win that fight. You know, Danny Garcia is coming off of a loss, so hopefully his head's on there, because Brandon Rios isn't no just a pushover, you know.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. So, like I said, we look forward to possibly seeing you at that fight and having you back on the show. So thank you so much for your time tonight, my man. And wish you all nothing but the best. So you have a great night. And once again, happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
All right. You tell the family we wish you and the family well, and we look forward to having you back on very soon. So have a great night, young man.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Mr. Donnell Estrada. We thank the young man for his time, and we look forward to being able to reschedule Mr. Griffin as well as Mike, maybe on a future show. But we thank you so much for your time and your listening, and we look forward to talking to you again next week. And don't forget to catch us Sunday on the Pugilist Corner. Have a great night, everyone. See you next week.